We're here on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, on the bottom of the Daf. Omar Rabba, and this again is Rabba Bar Chana. Ishtoili Nechuse Yama, those who go down to sea, to travel at sea, told me the following. Hai Gala Dimitaba Lisfina. That gal, that wave, which wants to destroy, to drown the boat, mischazi kitzutzisa denura chivarta bereisha. There are sparks of fire, of white fire, that come out of the tips of this wave, of this gigantic wave. And that is a Malach Habola, that's a very destructive angel, which is leading this gigantic wave. Umechinen le bi'al vasa dechakik le. And in order to save oneself from this wave, this dangerous wave, in order to neutralize it, then it's critical to strike it with a staff. This white fire at its tip, you have to strike it with a staff. And on the end of the staff, you have to inscribe the following words. Eye asher eye, and Yud Kei, that's Ka Hashem Tzvakos, Amen, Amen Selah. And then if you strike it with this very powerful staff, powerful spiritually, v'nayich, and that will cause that wave to slow down, to calm down. Omar Rabba, ishto li nechuse yoma. Those who go down to sea, the sailors at sea, told me the following. Bein gala legala tlos mea parsa. Between one wave, one major wave, and its fellow wave, is a distance of 300 parsos, a massive distance. Veruma de gala tlos mea parsa. And the height of each one of these waves is 300 parsos, a massive amount. And here we have a couple of points that we want to make here to add. Those who went down to sea, they saw, they beheld the Niflos HaBori, the Gvuras Hashem. As David HaMelech says in Tehillim Kuf Zayin, Yordei Hayam Ba'anios Osei Molocha B'mayim Rabim Hema Ro Maisi Hashem V'Niflos HaVimitzula. In the depths of the sea, they see these gigantic fish, they see the power of the sea, they understand, they acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Chochmah, He gave wisdom, Tachbula, insight, and created this world with tremendous wisdom, such that the sea doesn't overflow, it doesn't destroy and flood the earth. And we mentioned about the distance between one wave and the other. It's a massive distance. And one wave hears the other wave, says the Rashbam. And that's what keeps them at distance. The Ritva adds that by mentioning the Niflos Hashem in the Yam, even though the waves, B'yam Tse'isem Gavom Ad Miod, even though in the middle of the wave it's very high, they don't flow over and drown the world. Zimnin chada haviazlinan ba'urcha. Rabbi says, once I was on the way, udolinan gala, and a wave caught me and raised me up very high. Ad dechazinan beimar ba'ate dekoch fezuta. Until I saw the place up in Shamayim, up in the heavens, where a certain small star, it looks, probably looks small from a distance, when you get close to it, it's not so small. And I beheld this, from very close up, this star. Vahavili kimivzer arboin grive bizra de chardala. And it appeared to me as if its area was large enough to plant 40 kur shel barzel, shel zarei chardal of mustard seeds, 40 kur. Actually, there's another girsa here that says 400 kur. In any event, this is a massive area. V'idalinen tfei havi maklinon mehavle. If this wave would have lifted me up even higher, then I would be burnt from the heat that comes from this star. And he goes on to say the following. He says that when he saw one of these waves lifting up, he thought that he thought that this wave was so high that it would flood the earth. As we indicated before, one wave would raise its voice to the other wave. And this is based, says the Rashbam on a pasuk in Tehillim, Tahom el Tahom Kore. And this is all because the malachim that are in charge of the waves. Chaverti shavakt midi bi'alma. Did you leave? One wave asks the other, did you leave anything left in the earth that you didn't destroy it, that you didn't flood it, that I can come and destroy it? The nasi anovina abde, I'll destroy it. Omale puk chazi gvurta demare. Go outside and see what is the power of the creator of the world. Melo chuta chola velo avdi. That the power of the Creator is such that He doesn't let me go out, break through my bounds, and spread even one chut, malei chuta, one thread of sand on the Sfasayom. In other words, I can only go up to a certain boundary, and that's where I go. I can't go beyond. And the Gemara brings a proof from a pasuk in Yirmiyah to substantiate that the waters of the seas do not have permission, they don't have license to climb up and flood the dry land. Shenemar, ha'osi lo siro niyum Hashem, imi panai lo sechilu, asher samti chol gvul ayam, chakolam v'lo yavrenu, v'homu gala v'lo yavurunu. This is the chok, this is the statue. The boundaries of the sea. You're not permitted, the waters are not permitted to go onto the land and flood the land. Omar Rabba Lididi Chazili, what I saw were Hurmin, some sort of demons, Barlilis. Barlilis is apparently the queen of all the demons, a shame shade, Kikaroit Akufia de Shura de Mechoza. Rots al shuros shine achoma. This shade was running on the bounds or the walls that surround the city of Mechuzah. Veroit parasha ki rochiv chevasa mitatoi. And below this wall, it was running, and it was riding on a sus, on a horse, below Yochel, and the shade itself was not able to do its destruction, even though this shade was running with all its koach. Apparently, underneath this wall, meaning at the bottom of the wall, there was a horse and a rider, and yet the demon was not able to destroy the rider. And apparently, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was protecting this rider. Zibnechada have misarga in le tarti kudinaisi. there were two predos. On each one of them, there was a on each one of these mules, there was a saddle, the kayoman, and the these predos, these donkeys, were in such a way that atrei gishrei derognag. On both of these, on these bridges that were on top of a river, which is called Rognag, that's the name of the river, v'shavoyer mehai lahai mehai lahai. And this shade, this demon, this queen of demons, was jumping from one mule to the other over the bridges. V'nokit tre mizgi dechamra biyodei. And the shade was holding on to two cups of wine. Umorik mihai mihai, and as it was jumping from one mule over to the other over the bridge, it would pour from one cup of wine to another cup of wine. These are all mystical symbolisms. Velo notfe nitofto liara, and it didn't fall to the land. Not even one drop of wine would fall to the land. And why? V'osu ayom, and he quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, yalu shamayim yerdu sahomos. Hava ad dishomu be malchusa vekatluhu. There was a ruach sa'ara, very strong wind, and those who were traveling in the ship were lifted up until the middle of the shamayim, and they were brought down to the depths of the earth. And nevertheless, even though this was going on, nevertheless, there was nothing spilled from the wine until they heard about this in the Beis HaMelech, and they killed him. So let's just summarize the things that we saw. Rabba is testifying that he himself, or appeared to himself, Hormon, the son of Lilis, and he was running along these battlements, the wall of Mechoza. There was a cavalryman who was riding on an animal below, and he could not keep up with him. The demon could not catch up to the cavalryman, and he could not destroy him. And this is showing that God, Hashem, has compassion over his human creatures and protects them from being hurt by these demons. Again, the demons do pose a threat to man. Again, some of the poskim say that in our time, we don't have these demons. And then he tells one story about two mules were saddled up for the demons, and they were standing on two bridges of the river Rognag. Hormon jumped back and forth from one mule to the other while he was holding these two glasses of wine in his hands, and he was pouring wine back and forth from one glass to the other. Not a single drop spilled on the ground. And on that day, that was a stormy day, and those who go down to the sea rise heavenly, up to the heavens, descend all the way to the depths. And finally, the king's men heard about Horman's doings, and they killed him. The Rashban explains that Horman was killed by the orders of the king of the demons. He is performing publicly, and these antics in public are not something that can be tolerated. So the kings of the demons said that if you're divulging these secrets, therefore, Hormon has to be killed. The Rashbam offers another interpretation that Hormon was a corporeal being. He was really a human being. He was the offspring of a human. It was a physical being, an offspring of a man and a woman demon. And it was the king of the country that put him to death because he feared that Hormon would take over and destroy the king. In any event, there is a Gemara in Sanhedrin that mentions this Hormon. The Gemara states there that the upper half of a man's body, which is the more intellectual side and the more divine side, the lower part of the man is the digestive organs. That's where Hormon's domain is. That's where he represents the hedonistic desire of man. And Lilith is the shade that entices man to engage in Gilui Arayos and stuff. So therefore, the Hormon, who is the son of Lilith, is the, shall we say, the paradigm or the personification of the height of man's self-indulgence and his seeking out pleasure. The wall represents perhaps the Torah that protects those who study the wall, and Machozo was a great Torah center, and this is all a great symbolism. In this story, the wall is a symbol of Torah, which protects those who study the Torah. And the citizens of a city, a particular city called Machozo, they apparently, according to Rashi and Masechet Rosh Hashanah, they were pampering themselves, so they weren't dedicated to the Torah of study as they should be, and therefore they were going to go to Gehenna. According to the Vilna Gaon, however, they did study Torah, but they did it for their own self-gratification. Now Rabbah is going to see this demon, this shade, and this shade represents self-indulgence, and he's running along the wall, which represents the Torah of Machozo. And then there's a cavalryman. Again, this is all symbolism. He's riding on an animal, and he represents the true Torah scholar. He drives his body. He carries and controls his body and subdues it and disciplines. And all this in order to carry out Hashem's service, the will of Hashem. So according to Vilna Gaon, the cavalryman could not keep up with this shade. In other words, those who study Torah with the right kavanas, l'shem shamayim, they have difficulty, if you compare them, to those who are diligent and dedicated to self-gratification. They can't move as fast as them. They can't be motivated as fast as them. And the reason for that is because those who want to fulfill the will of Hashem are always facing the challenge or the barrier of the Yetzer Hara. But at the end, the activities here of this demon do not produce the results that he wants. And therefore, at the end, Hashem protects those who are dedicated to the study of Torah. Okay, we're going to start here now. Omar Rabba on Daf Ayin Gimel Amid Beis Lididi Chazili, which would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines down from the top.
Okay. Yeah.
So Rabba tells a story that I saw Urzila Bar Yome. I saw an animal which is called a Re'em, a very powerful animal. And I saw it on the day that it was born, or immediately after it was born, and it was gigantic. The Havakahar Tabor, even at birth, it was as large as the mountain of Tabor. The Har Tabor Kamavi, and how large is this mountain of Tabor, which is in the north? Arba parsos, 4 parsos. That's a very huge kind of thing. So imagine the Re'em at birth is so large. Umishacha ditzavre, and if you want to measure the size of its neck, of this Re'em, tlosa parse. It's 3 parsos. Wow, if the neck is 3 parsos. You know, ube marba'ata deresha. And at the time that it's shochev al rakia, I guess that this Re'em sometimes is up in the heavens, and it rests in a resting position. And you want to know how large its head is? It says parsa upalga rama kufta, and the place in which it rests its head is itself a gigantic area. And not only that, it lets out its defecation, and v'sachar liardena, and it's such a massive amount until it gets to the point that somehow it stops up the Yarden. The we'll see later on about the river Yarden, it's the major river, and yet it can't continue bringing its waters and carrying its waters because it's stopped up by the rei, the rei of this Re'em. Again, this is all to tell us the Niflaos HaBorei, that God created such massive beings. We'll soon see that some of these massive beings God had to do away with because they were so frightful. But nevertheless, God had to create everything, wanted to create everything. The Omar Rabba Bar Bachan, another story here, Ledidi Chazili, I was able to see Hahi Akruksa. Akruksa is Aramaic for its fardea, the havya, that it was so large, ki, that it was called Akra Dehagrunya. In other words, there was a gigantic metropolis that was called Akra Dehagrunya, and the rabbi wants to compare the size of this gigantic massive frog to that city. The Akra Dehagrunya Kamahavya, what's the size of this place? Shitin Bati, it's got 60 houses in it. Asa Tanina Bla'a. And now this great animal called a Tanin came and swallowed this gigantic frog that's the size of 60 houses. Asa Pushkansa, and some sort of a bird, we'll call it a raven, a female raven, Ubla Lisanina. And this massive bird swallows up this Tanin. This is like a Chagadya kind of story. Vesolik Yosef Be'ilana. Then the bird sits itself down on a branch of a tree.
Poetry.
What kind of tree?
It said poetry.
Poetry?
No, it said poetry. Because it would have to be both to carry this bird.
Right. So what do you mean by a poor tree? I didn't know.
It would suffer under the weight.
An unfortunate tree.
A poor tree, an unfortunate tree. Okay. Tochazi kamenofish cheli de ilana. And Rava, when he's looking at the wonders of the universe, he says, look at the strength of this tree, that one branch of this tree is able to carry the weight of this bird that swallowed up a tanin, that had swallowed up this gigantic tzvardea. Omar Papa Bar Shmuel I lo havi hasam lo hemni. Rav Papa said, if I wasn't there at the same place to see the same thing, I wouldn't have believed this report that Rava said. So apparently we have two witnesses, Rav Papa and Rava Bar Bachana, who both saw this event happen. Now, I'm going to read to you a note that I have here in the Masifta on the bottom, in the name of the Bir Agra. He says that this Tzfardea is a symbol for Talmidei Chachamim that are dedicated day and night to the study of Torah. Why? Because the Tzfardea is lo nochim bayom v'alayla. They have no rest. They're always, I guess, on the move. Perek Shira says about the Tzfardea that it always declares the oneness of the Almighty. And Rabbi Bar Chana says that he saw a particular Talmud Chacham, again symbolized by this gigantic Tzfardea, that this tzvardeh was the size of 60 houses, which means, in the simile, it means that a Talmud Chacham had 60 mesechtas in his back pocket. David, you can relate to that.
I wish I could get
it. You wish you, okay, you're not up to it yet, but you're on the way. And then this tanin, which is the barrier, that's the antithesis, he's the Eitz Hara, he's called the tanin, and that's based on a pasuk in Yeshayahu Chaf Zayin. And he sits down around this Talmud Chacham, and the Talmidei Chachamim are on the way on the river, on the sea perhaps. And the sea represents, you know, the area in which a Talmud Chacham could be ma'ayin, he could look into his Chachma. And now this Tanin is trying to stop the Talmud Chacham from enjoying this serene life in which he can focus on his Torah, and perhaps the Tanin is taking mizonos, he's taking a source of food away from the Talmud Chacham. But then afterwards this female raven comes along. Now the raven is known as a very cruel animal on its children, with Achzarit al Baneha, and she's not interested in sustaining her children, her young. Ubalsa l'tanina. That means she swallows up the tanin, meaning if this Talmud Chacham is dedicated to the study of Torah, then this Talmud Chacham is also like the raven. He's not willing to spend his time and dedicate it to making a parnasa. He also is cruel like the orev. Chazal say that sometimes if a person wants to steal time for learning, he's got to be a little bit cruel to his family. And he, this Talmud Chacham, is able to overcome the Yetzer Hara that wants to be mevatel him from Torah. And therefore, in that schus, as a merit, is Zocha Shasilek V'yosiv Be'ilona, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be mezame, I don't know how you say, to designate a certain person, an Ilona. Who's this Ilon that, you know, where the raven lands, is a powerful, rich person who's like Zvulun, and he's going to support Yisachar. He's going to worry about the parnosa of this Talmud Chacham, so that he could dedicate himself to Torah. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Eitz Chaim Hi L'Machzikim Bo, that if you hold on to this Eitz, you know, which is represents the faith in Hashem, that he will protect the Talmud Chacham, and he'll find some sort of a Zvulun to support this Talmud Chacham, is L'Machzikim Bo. L'Machzikim Bo says, Rabbi Bar Chana Tochazi Kamenofish Cheli Dilana, look how strong those who support Torah, the Ilonos, you know, that are able to support this weight of Torah, that they overcome the Yetzahara, and they're able to designate their funds in order to support Talmidei Chachamim. So the Gaon sees in this whole metaphor a description of those greats who are supporting Torah. Let's go on. V'yomer Rabba Barachana Zimna had a one time havakaz lina b'sfinasa, was traveling in a boat. V'chazinana hu kavra, and I saw this gigantic fish. D'yasva le achla tina b'usaya, that was sitting and it was killing another fish. V'adchua maya v'shadyua leguda, and the waters of the sea couldn't tolerate this carcass of the dead fish, and they pushed this dead fish over to the Sfas Hayom, to the how do you say in English, the Sfas Hayom, the shore, right? Ucharuv mine, and as a result, there was a tremendous churban, destructive. Shitin mechozi, the size of this dead fish was such that it destroyed 60 krochim. Krochim are major cities. Again, there's a good side to this too. We'll get to it in a minute. In any way, the meat of this dead fish, ve'achul minei shitin mechozi, while the fish was still moist, it was still fresh, then 60 cities were able to eat from its flesh. Umolchubine, and then whatever was left over after the 60 cities feasted on this great fish, for fish lovers, this is a wonderful story. Molchubine, they salted the rest, the remainder of the basar, of the fish, and they carried it to various places, Shitin Mechozi, to support 60 other cities. Umolu Michad Galgala di Ene Tlos Mea Garbe Mishcha. And from the oil that came out of this fish, they were out of one eye of the fish, Ene, Galgala di Ene means one eye, they were able to fill Mea Garbe Mishcha, 300 barrels of oil. That's how much oil there was in the eye of the fish. V'chi hadron lebasar treisi yarchi shata, they came back 12 months later. Chazinon, they saw the havikom menasre migarme mitalata. They were able to take the bones of the fish, cut it up, and they were able to build buildings, little huts, out of the bones of this fish. V'yasi livninu hanoch mechozi. And for 6 months, they were able to settle in these little huts and live therein. Again, Rabosa, I'm going to move forward, but there's a tremendous amount of symbolism in this Gemara. V'omar Rabba Bar Chana Zimnin Chada V'kazlina B'sfinta, I was traveling in a ship, V'chazinon Ahu Kavra, I saw a fish, the yasva le chalsa agabe, that there was sand that was gathered on its back, v'kadach agma ilave, and on this sand there were some sort of special herbs that were growing on its back. The savrinan yabashtahi, and I was mistakenly of the impression that this was dry land. That's how large the fish was. In other words, I mistook the fish for an island in the middle of the sea. Visalkinon, so I got off the boat, viafkinon, and I went on to the back of this fish, thinking I was on a golf course or something like that. Uvashlinon agabe. And I started baking and cooking on its back. V'kad chom gabe, and it got very hot on the back of this fish because of the fire. Is hapech, so the fish turned over to go back into the sea. V'ilav da'av v'mekarvas v'nosef, not for the fact that my boat was very close, havitav inon, I would have surely drowned. So he was able to save himself by jumping off the Titanic onto this ship. V'yomar Rabba Barachana, again, these all gigantic sea monsters, because Chazal say that the sea has everything that exists on land, except for the Chulda. But anyway, Zimnin Chada Haviazlinan B'Sfina, so one time I was traveling in a boat, V'Sagi Sfinta Ben Shiyotza L'Shiyotza De'Kavara, and my boat was somehow being tossed around by the fins of the head of a fish. Now, this fish had fins both on the bottom of its body and on the top of its body, and these fins were so large because the fish was so massive that it was pushing. It was moving back and forth in such a way that my ship was being tossed around at sea, tlosa yomer for 3 days, tlosa ilosa for 3 nights, and this was going on. You could really get sick from such a thing. But iu biskifa, and the fish was somehow able to swim against the powers of the very strong winds of the sea, vianan bishipule. And the sphin itself was moving very fast because the winds were carrying in that direction. And if you question the speed that we were traveling at, then ki osa ravdimi omar, ravdimi came and he declared, kimeham kumkuma demaya maske shitin parse, the amount of time that it takes to heat up a kumkum, that's an urn of water, then in that short amount of time, I don't know how long it takes to heat up a kumkum, maybe 5 minutes, I don't know, the sfino was able to travel 60 parsos. That's the speed that it was going on.
Incredible speed.
And Rav Dimi wants to even embellish this further. He says, Vishade Parsha Gira Vikadmale, Kishahaya Parash Yorechetz. There was somebody, an archer, who was shooting his arrow, and it was shooting towards the shore, and we saw that the boat was traveling at such a speed that it was able to get there before the arrow got there. And despite the speed of the ship, it was traveling for 3 days and 3 nights because of this fish. It seems to me, if I understand correctly, maybe you have the art scroll, that the fins of this gigantic fish were carrying the boat as the fish was going against the wind at a tremendous speed, a speed that even surpasses that of the archer's arrow. And that's how strong the fins of the fish were, the fins near the head. V'yomer Rav Ashi, and Rav Ashi declared, Ahu gilda diyama havi, de islay tre shaitze, this fish that Rabba is describing, Rabba Bar Chana, is called the Gildana. And the Gildana is known to be, by the fishermen, one of the smallest fish in the sea. And they call it a Gildana because it has these two fins, both in front and in the back. Other fish in the sea, they only have one fin towards the back, or in the middle, I guess, of the fish. And they are much larger than this fish that we've been describing. So anyway, these are great sea monsters, if you will. The Omar Rav Bar Chana Zimnin Chad, one time, I was traveling in a boat, V'chazinan Lahu Tzipora, and I saw some sort of bird that was standing dekayim in the middle of the sea, Ad Kartzule B'maya. And this bird was so large that the upper layer of water on the sea reached its ankle. Okay? Vereshe Barakia, and the head of this bird reached all the way to the heavens. V'amrinan, and I thought, Lekamaya, it must be very shallow water because the water only reached up to the ankle of this bird. Ubeidin Lachus, I decided I'm go down and cool myself off, Lakure Nafshe, and I'll take a little swim. Vinofak Baskol of Yomarlon, and a Baskol came out. Baskol is like a daughter of a voice, meaning one voice, you know, stimulates another voice. An echo. It's an echo of a divine warning. Lo techusu hacha, don't go down into the water. Danger, you know, no swimming. Why? De Noflas le chatzitza lebar nagra. Now nagra is a carpenter, right? And a chatzitza is apparently some sort of an axe.
They call it an axe, yeah.
In Hebrew, it's called a garzen. Okay, and he dropped somehow his garzen down to the water, and this happened 7 years ago, this story. And it still hasn't reached the bottom of the sea. In other words, this is a very dangerous place to go swimming. The lav mishum demfishi maya, why is it that this axe did not reach the bottom of the sea? Ela mishum derodfei maya. Forget about the depths of the sea. We're talking about the kiluach of the water, meaning the thrust and the force of the water. Excellent. The force of the water is such that it didn't allow this axe to hit the bottom of the rat. And therefore, you got to be very careful, said this Pascal. Omar of Ashi, Hahu, that particular bird, which reached all the way up to Shamayim, Ziz Sadaihu. This is referred to in a pasuk in Tehillim by David HaMelech Siv. I'll read the whole pasuk. It says, Yadati kol of harim. I know all the birds that fly around the mountains. Viziz Sadai imadi. And this tremendous bird, which is called the Ziz Sadai. There's a medrash that talks about this Ziz Sadai of David HaMelech and describes it that when it raises its wings, then it actually hits up against the sun. That's the size of this gigantic bird. So anybody who believes in those reptiles that you can see in the natural museums, you know,
this is small compared to all
the those were later ones. These were the earlier ones.
After the whale, Rabbi.
Say it again.
A whale is 10 times the size of an elephant. An elephant is a really, really big animal.
Right.
And they can move in the water at speeds like you can't imagine. I mean, maybe this is a little bit of an exaggeration here, because not an exaggeration as that was many years ago. But today you can see it still, you know what I mean? I've seen this with my own eyes.
Sure. The people go whale watching in South Africa. No,
I've done it twice.
I've seen whales in the States.
In the States. In any event, I'm not sure that our whales are even a fraction of the size of some of these animals. But anyway, the Omar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, you know, maybe generations from now, when we describe the whales, they won't believe us anymore. That's because all the whales will be killed by man, I think. It's an endangered species. Anyway, Zimnin Chad Avakaz Lina B'midbara. Oh, now we're back to the wilderness. So we're traveling in the wilderness. V'chazinon. Yeah, with the Arab businessman. V'chazinon hanu avaze. Avaze are geese. And these are very special geese. The shomte gadfayu mishamnayhu. These geese are very fatty. Shemen is fatty. And we see that these geese, when the... there's so much fat coming from these geese that even their feathers start falling off. V'kanagdi nachle de mishcha mitusayhu. And as a result, there are streams of oil that are drawn or dripping from their bodies. Aminilahu. So I told them, Islan begavayu chelko li alma diosi. Do we have a chelek in the world to come? In other words, will we be able to enjoy, I guess, these Chodadoli Gadfa? So one of the geese lifted up its wing, V'chadadoli Atma, and the other one lifted up its thigh, and they were both trying to show that they have certain parts of the body that are designated as a gift, as a reward for Talmidei Chachamim in the next world. And this kind of theme is going to come up over and over again throughout these three dapim of Agadita, that the Levyasan we'll speak about, and then there's the Sharabar, all these different things that are great, massive animals, creatures will be designated as reward for the Talmidei Chachamim in the next world. Ki asoy lekami de Rabbi Lazar, when I came in front of Rabbi Lazar, Omar Li, he said to me, Asidin Yisrael liten aleihem es hadin. In other words, apparently these geese are sort of suffering from the massive, excessive amount of shuman, and this is a result of sin, and that's holding back the Mashiach from coming, so that we are causing some sort of tzar bali chayim to these geese because they are so drowning in this oil. And now there's a simon here, ka'afra ditchilta trakte akrave lesilte. Omar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, zimnin chada one time havika azlinon b'midbara, I was traveling in the desert, v'islavi b'hadon, and who was guarding us? Sahutaya, this Arab businessman, apparently he was an expert, and he had certain powers that were amazing, he was able to tell you where to go, and Davik Shakil Afra, he could take up a piece of dirt from the ground, Morakle, and he could smell it. And based on the smell, the Omar, he could tell us, Ha Urchi, this is the best way, Leduchtaplan, to arrive at your destination. Vaha Urchi, but if you want to go to Duchtaplan, another destination, this is the road that you should take. Amrinan Lake, and we were a little bit skeptical, so we asked him, Kama Marachi Kinon Mimaya. Can you tell us how far we are from a body of water? They were going through the desert. The Amar Lan Havuli Afra, give me some more of this offer, of this dirt from the ground, and I will be able to tell you how far you are from water, a body of water supply. Yavinale, we gave him some offer. The Amar Lan, and he responded to us based on this smell of the ground. Tomne parsi, you're 8 parcels away from water. Tninon viavinale. We gave him more and more offer, and we kept, I guess, asking him other questions in order to test him. You know, we were wondering whether this is reliable or not. Is he for real, as we would say? Viomalon, and he said, Dimachakinon tlosa parsi. He always was able to tell us exactly how far we were from water, 3 parcels. And when we checked him out, the afchis lay, and what we did was we turned over the ground so that we gave him ground from here and ground from there, and we kept asking him how far we are from water. The lo yachilnis lay, and we couldn't trip him up. In other words, he was totally reliable. Amar li, that particular Arab told me, ta achvi lay loch mesei midbar. I want to come with me, and I'll show you those who died, you know, during the 40 years in the midbar after the Chet Hamaraglim. Every year they would dig their own graves, and they would die. Again, we can't really judge, you know, their level, but in any event, they sinned, the terrible sin of the Chet Hamaraglim. And I could show you where they are resting, the resting place of the Dara Midbar. Asli, so we went with him. Chazesinu, and we saw them, meaning the Mesei Midbar. Vidamu Kiman Dimivasme. Their faces were so fresh. In other words, they didn't deteriorate at all. They had a certain redness to their faces, or pink color, kishasuya yayin, as if they were intoxicated. And now we're turning to Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. Viganu aparkid, and they were resting calmly on their backs. Their faces were towards the top. Vavi zekifna birke dechadmina. One of them lifted, had a knee that was lifted up, and it was so high up, the ayal tayoye, that this businessman who was, I guess, riding on a camel, to say birke, was able to travel underneath the knee. This is like goal of his travels. Ki rachiv gamla uskifa rumche velo nagabe. And even though he was very high up, and he held on to a romach is a kind of a sword, and nevertheless, he didn't touch the inner part of the knee because it was so high up. And this miracle was meant to, says the Maharal Miprag, was meant to demonstrate that they were so separate from any other generation, they were higher and higher. Paski chada karna, and Rabbi Bar Bachana decides that he's going to cut off one karna, one corner, the tchilta of their tcheles. Again, I don't know if it's tcheles or it's tzitzis. Tcheles is usually the... The chadminayu of one of the Mesei Midbar. So he goes up to one of the Mesei Midbar. This sounds like a story about Shaul, David and Shaul. And he cuts off the corner of his garment. And what was his purpose? So the Mefarshim, the Rashbam, and others, they explain that there's a machlokas chin beisul beit shamay. We're going to see about it later whether each kanaf, each quarter, has three chutim that it turned over to make it six, or four chutim that are threaded in the hole of the kanaf, and that makes eight. And also there's a machlokas exactly about the size and the distance. And he wanted to bring this as proof. You know, like they have now the, what's it called, the... Kipat HaSela, what's it called in English? You know what I'm talking about? At the National Museum, they have the Dead Sea Scrolls. Anyway, so amongst the things that they found a pair of tefillin. And apparently, those tefillin date back a long time, and they were Rabbein Tam's tefillin. That doesn't change the halacha. I'm just talking. Anyway, lo havin mistagili. Now, I wanted to go on my way, says Rabbi Marchana, because I have this kanaf. I'm going to show to the chachamim. I'm going to demonstrate exactly how many chutei tzitzis there are. And hopefully the halacha is like Beis Hillel. And the animal that I was driving froze in its place. It wouldn't allow me to go further. Amar li, so this Arab said to me, he didn't know that I had taken the kanaf, Dilma, perhaps, Shakals midi minayu. Maybe you took something from one of the deceased, and therefore the animals can't move. They're frozen in their spot. Ahadre, you better return it. Digmiri, because we have a tradition. Yeah, this is a tradition from this Yishmaeli. Demand the shakal midi minayu. If anyone takes something from them, lo mistagi lay. Nothing will be able to carry them and continue on the road. Asli, so I went back. Ahadarte, and I returned this kanaf. Bahadar mistakilon. Now the animal started moving forward, and I was able to get to my destination. Ki asoy lekami derabbanan. When I came back to the chacham, I told them about this story. Omruli, they said to me, call Abba, anyone who has the name Abba, and Rabbi Bar Bachana was his name was Abba. Chamra, he's as stupid as a donkey. V'chol Bar Bachana, and anyone who is Bar Bachana, meaning again a reference to him, Sichsa is a shota. Again, the Ben Ish Chai says that it's impossible that the Chacham would have insulted Rabbi Bar Bachana in such a way. So he has a whole new reinterpretation of this Gemara. Maybe we'll get a chance to see it. Lamai Hilchasa Abdus Hochi, and why did they accuse him so harshly of being idiotic? Because why did you do this? Why did you cut the kanaf? Lemeida, because we wanted to find and clarify. Ikebe Shamai, Ikebe Sil. How do we paskin? Is it three chutim? Is it four chutim? Iboilach, Lemimne chutim. You should have at least counted up the chutim. Ulemimne chulios. And there's also a machlokus about how many of these round things, you know, when you wrap the tzitzis around, how many are they? So we should know the halacha. Why, you know, before you return the kanaf, you should have had a chance to tell us the halacha. Okay, we wouldn't have seen it as a demonstration, but at least we know how the final halacha is. And the Mefarshim say that why did Rabbi Bar Chana not do this? He wasn't so stupid, but apparently they were in a pressure to move on, and they were stuck in the desert. They wanted to get out, and the entourage of people who were with him wouldn't allow him even that extra few seconds to check out the kanaf. Amar Li, another story here about this Socher Yishmaeli. Ta Achvi Loch, let me come and show you our Sinai, the mountain of Sinai. Azli, and they went with him. Chazoy, what did they see? Dahadrile Ak Rabba, that the mountain of Sinai was surrounded by scorpions. Vekaimi Ki Hamore Chivarti, and these scorpions were sort of erect. They were standing like, and they looked like white donkeys. Vishamati baskol shomeres, and I heard coming from our Sinai a heavenly voice that was woeing, lamenting, oy li shenishbati, woe to me that I took a shvua. And v'achshav shenishbati mi mefarli. If there's someone who could come along and give me a hafara, you know that if a wife takes a neder, her husband, certain nedarim, her husband has within 24 hours the ability to be mefer to nullify the neder. Ki asoy lekami derabbanan, and I told this story in front of the chacham omuli. Again, they were very harsh with me. Kol abba chamra. Any abba is a shote, like a chamor. Again, the Ben Yoyod is going to reinterpret this gemara. Called Bar Bar Rachana Sichsa, and Bar Bar Rachana is an idiot. Hoylecha Lomar, all you had to say was Mufar Loch. I guess he has the din of a Yochid Mumcha, or maybe he has the status of a husband who can be Mefir the Nedarim of his wife, like all of Shir Hashirim is a metaphor for the relationship between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if God took the Shmuah, and he said that he would.
But wouldn't God be the husband and right, the wife?
So right. I don't have an answer to that question, but in any event, that God took the shvuah that he would send the people of Israel into exile, and now he wants to be freed from the bonds of the shvuah. You, Rabbah, had the power at that moment, hearing the cry of Hashem, to be made for the neder, to nullify the neder. And the Gemara explains now why Rabbi Bar Bachana didn't do so. He could have ended the exile. Why didn't he take advantage of that opportunity? V'hu savar, because Rabbi was perplexed. Dilma, perhaps, meaning the Baskol didn't tell you what was the content of that shvuah. Perhaps Dilma shvuasa demabelhu. This was the shvuah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took upon himself in Parshas Noach.
That not to flood again.
Not to flood the earth again. And he was afraid that if that be the case, if he nullified that shvuah, then chas v'shalom, because of man's terrible evil, God would again bring about the flood over the earth. the Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon thought that that was not even a Havamina. He couldn't think in those terms. Be'im Kain, because if that be the case, Oili Lama, why did the Maskel say, woe to me? It must have been because it was the Golus, that Hashem was, so to speak, in anger, or in anguish, I should say, over the fact that Klal Yisrael is suffering so much in the exile. And if that be the case, Rabbi Bar Kani, you should have understood, you should have figured out that this was a golden opportunity to be made for the Shvuah. Why did Rabbi Bar Kani think that this Shvuah was the Shvuah of the Mabul? After all, Hashem said, Oili. So the Ben Yoyada says, Lefi she'im lo ha'isa Shvuah, Haya olam yireme amabul v'lo hayu chotim. He thought that if not for the Shvuah, the people of the earth would be afraid of another mabul, and that would deter them from sin. So therefore, Rabbah thought that it's better that they have this fear of the. In other words, just one second. That Oili, that Hashem would say to me that if there was no Shvuah, then the world would not be deterred from sin, because they would be afraid. So therefore, Rabbi Bar Kana thought that Hashem really wanted to get rid of the Shvuah, to annul this oath, because by doing so, he would reinstate the natural fear of man when he sins, because of the fear of the Mabul, and Rabbi didn't want to play any. He had compassion on the earth, and he didn't want to annul the Shvuah. So, Rabosai, I think they're calling us now. I'm going to continue for another few minutes. I said Karbanis already. Shouldn't be chayshid me. Amar Li. So
is there shiur tomorrow? We'll do this tomorrow.
No. No, the next year will be after Pesach. Hashem. I have here from our Dr. Plotsky a list of all the days. All right, I'll find it for you. I know I took it this morning, but again, I don't always find anything. This is Kimka the Piskla, so that's not relevant. Anyway, I'll get you the days in Mitzvah Hashem.
I have the list.
You have the list. If you don't mind photocopying it, then maybe, if you know, there's a machine here, if you have the time. If not, we'll do it after davening. Om Ali, so this Arab businessman said the following, Ta achvile blua de Karach. I'll show you where the people of Korach were swallowed up because of their sins. Chazoi, and when he took me to this place, what I saw was Trey Bize. I saw two cracks in the ground. The Havakov Mafki Kutra. There was smokestacks that were coming out from the heat below the ground. This was the heat of Gehenna. Shakal Gvava, just to demonstrate how hot these fires were, the businessman takes a Gvava. He takes a Gizat Semer, some sort of a ball of wool, Amra's wool, the Ashmina, and he soaks it, b'maya, he soaks it in water, and then u'di'atzi b'rosha d'romcha, and he pierces the wool into the head of the tip of his spear, the aile l'hasam, and he puts it down in that crack, v'chi'apik, and when he brought it out, even though it was sopping wet, havi icharach, it was scorched, ichruche, from the heat of the Gehenna. The Amar Li, and then this Yishmaeli says to me, to Rabbi Kona, Atzis my Shamas, put your ear to the crack and listen to the voice that you could hear, Ushamit, and I heard the Davi Omrin, that they were declaring Moshe v'Toroso Emes, Vehein Badoyen, and they spoke about themselves in third person, we are liars. And this is a very famous chazal that the Korach and his people did tshuva. Amar Li, so the socher said to me, try it a few times, come back, kol tolsin yomim, every 30 days, you should come back and listen to them. Demahadu lehu gehenim, because on a 30-day period they are judged for gehenim, lahacha, to this particular place, kibbasar b'kalachas. He gives them a mashal, of, you know, how they are reburnt, so to speak, in the fires of Gehenna every 30 days, like someone who puts meat into a pot of hot water in order to cook it, and every so often he stirs up the pot. The Amri Hachi, and you'll come back every time that they get this punishment, the heat of Gehenna every 30 days. Maybe it was on Rosh Chodesh. And Moshe v'Torosa emes v'ein b'doim, they will hear the same declaration. Amar li, so this socher Yishmaeli said to me, Ta achvi loch hechid enashki ara rekia adodi. I'll come with me and I'll show you exactly where the Shamayim and the Aretz meet. A very high place where there's, so to speak, a kiss between the earth and the rakia. And he brought Rabbi Bar Chana to such a place, and there Rabbi Bar Chana sees windows. Shakli l'siltai, I took my basket of bread, v'asnachta, and I dropped it off, I left it, b'kavasa d'rakia, on one of these windows to the Shamayim, to the upper heavens. Adam Atzlina, and then I went to daven, and when I finished davening, Be'isei v'lo ashkechisa, I looked for this basket of bread that I had left there, v'lo matzasiv, and I couldn't find it. Amina lei, so I told this Arab socher, Ika ganvei hach, do you know if in this place, which is a wonderful place, there are ganovim, there are thieves that would have taken my sal. Amar li, don't worry about thieves, but hai galgala derikiyahu dahadar. There's something called the Galgal Harakia. There's something that goes around and around. Do you have a translation there? What is? How does the English translation?
It's only the heavenly sphere that's rotates.
The heavenly sphere that rotates, correct?
Yes.
Oh, so there's a rotation of the heavenly sphere on a daily basis, and you happen to leave your basket of bread on the window where the heavenly rotation will take it around. Natar l'macha, wait until tomorrow. Hacha, come back here. Umishkakasle, and I'm sure you will find your basket of bread replaced exactly where you had put it down. And there's a long discussion here in the Marsha about this Gemara, but we don't have time for that now. But B'li Neder, we'll see if we have time a little bit later. One line from the Marsha is that Yishmaeli told Rava that through the Zchuyos Sheba'aretz, meaning the Torah and the Maisim Tovim, Yinoshe Karakia Lemazel Shebo V'Yisrabu HaMezonos Shetluyim B'Mazel. Somehow the mazel, which is in the rakia, will somehow generate a shefa, some sort of a ribui of mizonos. That's through the zchuyos, the maisim tovim, the Torah that goes on down in earth. And Rabba said, Gam ani, I too, shahaya darki leilech lemerchak, I would go to long distances, travel to midbaros, to yamim, in order to procure my sustenance, my mizonos, amarti shlo esa od kain, I'm not going to do that anymore, vishakalti lisaltoi, which is the basket is a remez to mizonos, vinachti b'chalon rekia, I left it there in the window of the rekia, and then I went and I was mispal Hashem with the hope that through this tefillah, my mazel would change for good, and my mizonos, my sustenance would be procured, berevach, would be given to me by Hashem. And then Rabbi adds, Adamatzlinon, I actually prayed to Hashem, Elo Ashkeche, I didn't find my mezonos berevach, even after my tefillos. V'amarti lo li'ishmeli, I said, maybe there are ganovim here that stole my basket. Sheganvu esmashin asato shenoslu li min hashamayim, that are taking away from me that which was granted to me, bestowed upon me by Shamayim. And the Omar lo, the Ishmaeli said to him, Hai galgal derekiyahu, the mazel derekiya is ma'akev until it be changed for the good. Ach netarad lamachar, continue, don't give up. Don't despair. Ribui zchuyos tefillah. Continue all your good things and your tefillos, v'tamtin, and wait until the mazel would change for the good. And that was the message of hope that Rav Baruch Hanna received from this entire story and this experience with the Galgal Harakia and the basket of bread. Okay, then we'll stop here.